Basically, it deals with the interface between Shvuas Ha'edus and Shvuas Bitui, which reflects on both.
I think he forgot about it.
So we're next week? So we're pushed off a week?
I think so. Unless somebody else.
Okay. So today... Okay, I'll try. You know what? It's I should have followed up more. I thought we had it all set, but...
Wait, you
need
Rosh Hashiva
to
give a
kollel? Well, I mean...
Free this
happen. Okay. We'll take you up on that. Okay. Absolutely. But not just... We don't just... I mean, we need... I mean, you could have said, do we need a Rosh Kollel to give a kollel? And then told me that you were free. You were just being modest. Wow. So selfish. Okay. So this topic is about the interaction or the interplay between Shvuas Ha'edus and Shvuas Bitui. And, of course, it reflects more on Shvuas Ha'edus than Shvuas Bitui. You know pretty much which... I mean, there's huge debates about what Shvuas Bitui really is. Just say that, and I hope we'll get back to it at some point this year. And the question of the relationship between Lahaba and L'sha'avar is a particularly acute question. I think Matel came to my speak to me at after share about that. When we speak of L'sha'avar in Shvuas Bitui, just to say very quickly, we don't mean something that's necessarily in the past. We mean something that isn't in the future. Meaning there are two, broadly speaking, Shvuas Bitui breaks up into two. And the question is, again, what is the relationship between the two? The two there is, present, past, and future. Present, past together. Meaning, lo yachel devaro, right, when you take an oath, right, so, the classic shvuas sheker is a case where you lie. Meaning, as you articulate your commitment, your statement of fact, whatever it is, right, the facts are already established, and lo yachel devaro, you shouldn't lie, right? And that's known because, either this is a true or a false statement when you make it. So, of course, in that sense, aside from the idea that, I guess, temporally or philosophically or even Ezra-ly, one could argue that there is no present, or there's practically no present, right, which has to do with the message also, the infinity thing. But that aside, the point is that any statement I make about the present is really, from a shvuos bitui point of view, a statement about the past. Meaning, what's important about it is that the second I made it, it's either true or false, as opposed to a statement in the future, right, which has yet to be determined. So the big question in shvuos bitui, one of the big questions in shvuos bitui, is if indeed it does include lahaba, does that mean that we have a different perspective on what lo yachel devaro really is? So one way to say it is no, not really. It's a chiddush, but the idea is that igloi milsa l'mafreya, if you don't live up to your commitment, that igloi milsa l'mafreya, that your words were lie. But of course, qualitatively, the idea of lying, in real time and lying based on not, implementing or things not happening, later, I mean, those are different types of lies. They both might be lies, from a certain point of view. But the other possibility is that really, Shvuas Bitui Lahaba is not based on the lie per se, but the lie is really focused on the, you set up kind of a situation in which, if you don't follow your commitment, so you've kind of created a personal obligation, and therefore you have violated like a personal ma'isa aveira. As I said, I'll eat tomorrow, or I won't eat tomorrow. So when you eat tomorrow, after having made that commitment, the real aveira is the achila. Just that there's no isur in the Torah to eat tomorrow, unless tomorrow is Yom Kippur or something like that, right? And that would be a coincidence of the calendar. So, that comes under the broader rubric of lo yachel devaro. Should we say, ha'avar, nishma la'asid, even though it's a chiddush, or should we say that there are two dinim in Shvuas Bitui because it applies in both ways, and therefore they are, and then look for nafkamina, right? Or should we say midde lahaba nishma la'sha'avar, that it's never really about? So that's a big question. I don't want to get into that right now, but that's a big question in Shvuas Bitui. And just as we've been discussing in parallel, in other words, You know, Shavuos Ha'edos, let's say, or Shavuos Bitur, or Shavuos Ha'bikana. What about the relationship between Mipi Acherim, you know, and Mipi Atzmo? So too, you know, in Shavuos Bitui, all the rage, you know, the big discussion is, you know, how do you integrate, you know, Lahaba, you know, and Hove, not Avar. Hove and Avar are the same, I say, pretty much, because that it's the point is that the Chil Dvaro is immediate. Are there differences in terms of Shem Hashem? Are there differences in terms of Malkus or Korban? Are there, you know, what is that all about? But having, you know, mentioned that, by the way, that's one of the reasons why Lab and Hain, as opposed to Asid and Avar in the flipping, might be different. There are numerous reasons, but that also could be one of the reasons, right? But that aside, that's a Shavuos Bitui question, and it's a very important Shavuos Bitui question. But that aside, let's say Lahaba aside, typically we think of Shavuos Bitui as a Mechayev of Shavuos Sheker. And therefore, the real question when we're talking about the interrelationship between the complex interrelationship between Shavuos Ha'edus and Shavuos Bitui is more about Shavuos Ha'edus than it is about Shavuos Bitui, right? But not completely because of the Lahaba factor. Okay. So, yeah.
So just so I hear terms like Shavuos Sheker being used and Shavuos Bitui. Like, so is that the same thing? There's no like, you know, different category of Shavuos Sheker. It's just like that's Lahaba Shavuos Bitui.
You know, well, Shavuos Sheker and Shavuos Bitui. I mean, typically, Lo Sishma B'Shem Yalla Shaker is Shavuos Bitui.
So there's no like separate category of Shavuos Sheker. I think the term is used in the Gemara, Shavuos Sheker, not like.
Shavuos Sheker is a, you know, I mean, there's a Shavuos Edus, which is Sheker. But the Lab of Lo Sishma B'Shem Yalla Shaker, you know, classically refers to Shavuos Bitui. Again, whether it also extends to Shavuos Ha'edus and Shavuos Ha'bikana, we discussed, right? That's a discussion in the Rambam and the Sefer Mitzvos and Yad HaChazaka and the Chinuch and the Minchas Chinuch and the Smag. You know, those are the issues that we... And of course, it's very, very... All these issues are connected, as you can see, right? In other words, the how prominent and implicit the Chovos Haggadah. How, you know, how do you weigh Mipi Acherim and Mipi Atzmo, you know, to each other in Ha'edus? How does Edus stand vis-a-vis Pikadon Bitui? And now, why isn't there Bitui, Bechlau, Edus? These are all connected topics. So all I'm saying is the classic Shavuos Sheker is a Shavuos Bitui. Lo Yachel Devaro. Yeah, and again, Shav, how much, you know, how different is Shav from Sheker? Again, Shav is always Sheker, but since Shav is also absurd, so it's better and it's worse, right? Because it can't be. The whole idea of Shavuos Shav is, you know, Omer al Even Shehu Eitz, al Eitz Shehu Even, or even Omer al Even Shehu Even and Eitz Shehu Eitz, because it's just one is, you know, patently, obviously ridiculous. By the way, part of, you know, it's you know, Ish Shehu Isha, Isha Shehu Ish. Those are the examples of the Mishnah. So things that are obviously just not the case, right, are Shav, and things that are just so obviously true that they don't need to be said. If it's a tautology, you say, Al-Evan Shu-Evan, you know, that's also, you know, you're just being chuchotluling, you know, with a shvua, right? That's what we talked about in terms of Amen, right? Or the same thing is true for Nishba Levatel Samit. Nishba Levatel Samitzvah, that's already an interesting point. I mean, Torah, you know, life and chiyuvim and isurim are also something that turn into, that's an isha halacha perspective, right? Into shav. If I say I'm, because I don't have any bailos, I'm not going to do the mitzvah of sukkah. I'm not going to do the, you know, the mitzvah of lulav. You know, I mean, the man has free choice. He can end up not doing it. But the legal commitment to do something which is against the Torah is considered the equivalent of Al Eben Shehu Eitz, or Al Eitz Shehu Eben, and maybe, you know, Nishba Lekayim is a mitzvah, that's already the more debatable. You know, Mujba V'Yomed Mehar Sinai, you know, maybe that's Al Eben Shehu Eben, or Eitz Shehu Eitz, or maybe not. That already, you know, is a reinforcement, might have a different status, even though you're not Chayim fully for Shavuos Bitui. So Shav is a category. Is Shav like Bitui, or Shav is a little different because of that, what I'm saying? And is one of more about Chilul Shem Hashem, like even invoking it in this either supremely obvious or supremely ridiculous way, You know, as opposed to, you don't even get off the ground in terms of the shek. It's not sheker and emes, you know, with Shem Hashem. It's the, or it's maybe bitui that midah shav. Like, how different are shav from bitui? How different are asid and avar, you know, in bitui? And then you get to the, you know, Shavuos HaBikaron, Shavuos HaEdus questions about mi piyatzo and piyachem. So it's all like in a hierarchy. I'm just, this is just framework. I don't want to, I just, I want to really get through, so I'll take the next question very quickly, but I really want to get through these Rishon HaMon Kapeh.
Withdraw.
If it's quick, I'll do it.
Sure. Okay. I think it is quick. So the Rambam, says about Shavuos Shav,
yes.
I think, that he refers to certain, like, contingent facts that one might have thought would be sort of classic Shavuos Bitui facts,
okay,
as Shavuos Shav facts, if they're, like, particularly esoteric, but they're still contingent. I wanted to know what Rebbe thought about.
That's right. That's I'm not sure what you mean necessarily about contingent and esoteric. So that'll take too long to find out right now. So let's table that. I'm happy to address it when we have a little more time.
Okay.
And speak more about Shub, the relationship between Shub and Peter. Right now, I'm just trying to build a framework.
Ask out a fish on Friday night.
Okay. No, I'm happy to. Okay. So good. So this is really what we're talking about, the relationship between. So in this sugya, we really have five things to look at. Okay, and we've been looking at them, and we're going to finish looking at them today. One is the flipping question, lav and hay. The problem with each one is that each one also has, you know, its own internal, you know, issue, what it depends on. One is the flipping issue, lav and hay. And the question that we've been discussing, which is, again, fundamentally, if we all had our choices, I think we'd all say that what should be koveh for lav and hay is one mechayev. Because we don't care whether the label, you know, of the specific formal rubric of the issue that you violate is the same. If we end up saying that Shavuos Eidus is a kind of bitui too, or it's a bitui plus, or whatever it is, so what do we care in the end? As long as the mechayev is common, that's lav and hay. That, I think, if we had our druthers, all of us, you know, would want to say that, unless we're very, very, independent-minded, you might say, or iconoclastic, you know, might be a better way to say it. Right? That's what we all would say. And then the question here about Hain and Lav, which is Abaye's first comment, but the Gemara thinks is contradicted by his continuation comment, and then the Gemara says he was Chozer, and we're not really sure which one he was Chozer from. Okay? So, obviously, there's this big, interesting discussion. We'll speak a little more about it, and we'll show him in a minute. So that's what we would have said. The problem is that we're not sure about that. And from the Rishonim itself, it's Noveya. It could be that Lav and Hain requires, you know, the technical rubric, the formality, even if there is the same Mechayev. And you could also, in theory, argue the opposite, and that is, as long as you're Chayev, even if it's a different Mechayev, that would be enough. Kind of. Maybe that's what the Barshal is suggesting. It's certainly, again, you know, something that you could put in the Rishonim. So there are three, you know, possibilities there. But assuming that the first one is still the best one, or the, you know, the preferred one, so then this becomes an interesting reflection of the question that we're talking about, same Mechayev or different Mechayev. Good. The second question is in the continuation of the Gemara, where the Gemara says, why do we need the Parsha? Bishloma, right, Shmuel, but Rav, what do we need the Parsha of Shavuos HaEdus for? So that's like, you know, man. You know, that's just, the Gemara gave it to us. You know, what do you mean, what do we need Shavuos HaEdus for? If Shavuos HaEdus is a different Mechayev, that's what I'm saying, there's a meta question there too. Like, do we care about why you're Chayev for things, even if they're different Mechayev, or we just need to make sure that your conduct, you know, permitted and permissible and prohibited, is all covered in some way. Obviously, my very, very strong preference, not just my strong preference, I mean, I think all of our instinct is that if there's a different, you know, reason why you're chayiv, or a different category, and that reflects a value, that would be a very, that would preclude the question, you know, what do you need the parsha for? In which case, the question probably is, assuming it's not that first point, you know, what is unique and singular about Shavuos HaEdus? Why did we need a different Mechayev, or in what sense is it a different Mechayev? So the Gemara is giving us that. Now, how different does it need to be is still a question. Okay, but that's what the Gemara is talking about. Then you have the third instantiation of that, and that is, good, good, let's assume that Shavuos Ha'Avos is justified as a separate parsha in the Torah and a separate, you know, mitzvah in the minyan tayag because it is a different mechayiv or because it provides, you know, for case coverage, you know, for one of those two. We don't know what the answer is. The answer, as we said, always pointed out, could be one of two things, right? It could be we need it because it fills in gaps, or we need it, the preferred answer, because it teaches us a different, you know, perspective and category and value. Okay. So once that's true, we could still ask the question, but if there's overlap, that's another question, a related question. Right? This is point number four. If there really is overlap, or three, then why aren't you chayiv twice? We do have things that you're chayiv twice for, like the Gemara said, lav, why don't you be chayiv twice? If you're chayiv for the asay and lav of Shabbos twice, and you're chayiv for bal yirah and bal yimatza, and you're chayiv for lo yachlifenu and lo yamir, and you violate, you know, X amount of isurim when you eat dam, and so on and so forth. So it's not like the Torah never has overlapping isurim, even when there are perhaps different mechayivim. Right? Even when there aren't different mechayivim, we sometimes overlapping isurim. So what's wrong with saying that there's something called Shavuos Ha'Avos? It, you know, is a necessary parsha for the details that it provides, or even better, for the mechayiv that it gives us. But nonetheless, isn't there bechlal Shavuos Ha'Avos Shavuos Bitui? And as long as that is true, why can't you be chayiv shayim? So one day in the Gemara says yes, in Achanami, you are, and then the Gemara goes on to say you're not. So everybody agrees you're not, but the question is why you're not, and we have models of that too. Just even if we invoke, as I said, kamle bedraba mine, there are two types of kamle bedraba mines. There's this what I call the subsuming one and the eclipsing one. That's a third parak of Ksuba's topic, not for now. but the point is two different models that are very helpful here. When we end up saying that you're not chayiv shtayim, if we say you're not chayiv shtayim, well, everybody says you're not chayiv shtayim. So is that exeris hakasuv? You know, is that because they're proximate enough that you don't need to get them twice in this particular case? Or is it because they are so it's a function of the, you know, the difference between them? Now again, the more things are different, that's both an argument for and against dual chiyuvim. For, because you could say they're so different that we don't even look at them together. There's no mitzare. That's how different they are. On the other hand, if we do look at them together, and we do think that, you know, that they're different enough, you might get eclipsing. Everybody with me? I'm just talking about the broader. So that's issue number three. Why aren't you chayiv shtayim? Indeed, why aren't you chayiv shtayim? Then comes issue number four, and that is to figure out lebaisa when there's no... Okay, fine, good. For whatever reason, you know, we've come to the conclusion that you're not chayiv shtayim, right? For technical reasons, for fundamental reasons, or something in between, right? So now the question is, but what is the implications of all this discussion for a case where befoal you're not chayiv for Shavuos Ha'Avos? Right? So if we have cases which befoal are not chayiv Shavuos Ha'Avos, and the reason that they're not chayiv Shavuos Ha'Avos is because the reason for the patur is also a reason to be mafkia v'chalos shem Shavuos Ha'Avos, it's not even called Shavuos Ha'Avos, then there really should be no reason why you wouldn't be chayiv Shavuos Bitui. Unless it's stam gzeres hakasuv, and that's really strange. Right? That would be very strange gzeres hakasuv. But if we can lu yitzuyer find cases where the foal you're not chayiv for Shavuos Ha'Avos, but the shame Shavuos Ha'Avos is still there, and that becomes an independent question of the requirements of Shavuos Ha'Avos that make it patur when you don't have them. Is there more than one type, and where do you, you know, ruin the hide, right? Having the exclusive impact of Dine Mominus. I mean, the only way that it's going to save this guy's money. Being Bebezdim. Tvias Ha'edim. Yichud Ha'edim. If these are all, and there are more, requirements of Shavuos Ha'Avos, are some of them technical conditions for Chiyuv, but even absent them, there's still a shame and a chalos of Shavuos Eidos, in which case we have our dream scenario, namely, no befoal Shavuos Eidos, but still a shame Shavuos Eidos. Again, almost like Tana de Bechizkiya. Again, Mashal Amad Avadome, Tana de Bechizkiya said, Chayve Misel Shogim Pturim. So, meaning, you have a Kom Le'Bidrabmini situation, but you're not Chayev for the capital offense, right? But you're still Potter for the other one. Wow. Why? The answer has to be because the shame or the chalos is there, even though the chiyuv isn't, A. B, kom le'bidrabim, in A, in the eclipsing form, right, doesn't need the befoal chiyuv. It's not really subsuming. It needs only the shame. So there's a big discussion in the resort. Tanu Bechizki says, chai ve'misos shogim pturim. What about other pturim? Not shogig. Let's say misasek. Let's say Melachshem Tzricha Legufa. Let's say Mekalkel. Right? I mean, I could go on. Any other, are all Pturim equal when it comes to, would you apply Tanit Bechizkiya and all Pturim? That's a debate in the Rishonim, in Bava Kama, Chavav, and a discussion, very extensive discussion in the Achron. What's the difference between one Ptur and another Ptur? The answer is some Pturim are Mafkia the case, in which case you have to be Chayim. And others leave the skeleton, or the shame, or the chalos, right, even though there's no befoal. So we have the exact same model right here. We want to know, you know, when you have Shavuos Eidos as a shame and a chalos, but you don't have the chiyuv befoal, are we still mafkia Shavuos Bitui or not? That would imply a more eclipsing type or formal, that it's the diversity between them, not so much the commonality. Because if it's the common denominator between them that says you don't not be chayv shtayim, you might as well get the Eidos one, not the, then befoal chiyuv should be enough. So there are two questions here. Which pturim, right, have which effect? We'll see that in just a second. Part of it. And what do we care about? So that's question number four. And then question number, one second, five is the question of, okay, this whole discussion in the Gemara is about Shavuos Eidos, right? What is the parallel, you know, impact of Shavuos HaPikadon? You may not have good cases, right? But you don't have a parallel Gemara. But what about a parallel discussion? Right? Does Shavuos HaPikadon eclipse Shavuos Eidos? Is there a difference between, let's say, the befoal argument of one, you know, maybe one depends on befoal, the other depends on the theoretical, you know, existence? Right? So in light of our discussions of the relationship between the nature of Shavuos Eidos and Shavuos HaPikadon, that fifth question is very important, and we'll discuss it a little bit. Obviously, it's harder to pin down. You don't have as many makor. And then the sixth question is getting back to Shavuos Eidos in light of everything we discussed, is Bipi Acherim. Okay, if you have the, and that's what I mentioned the other day, especially for the Rambam, but maybe even for others, but especially for the Rambam Shavuos Bitui, if you have the circumstances, if you have the chalos of Shavuos Eidos, right, Bipi Acherim, or let's say that. You don't have the chalos Shavuos Eidos, but you have the chiyuv agada, let's say. And that's a basis to say, to use the, you know, genuze or genize or ginze, you know, hagrach, you know, form. It's chayel alei. So would you even be chayev Shavuos Bitui for Shavuos Eidos bipi acherim when you have that part of it? Those are the six questions to think about. Okay. But we want to finish this today. So now let's turn, that was very hypothetical. I think very important. But that's what we're looking for. That's what we're thinking about. Now, let us turn, go the exact opposite route, and just talk concretely about the specific shitos of the Rishon. Good? Everybody with me? Yeah.
Do we mean that there's a tzirif to each other, tzirif between Shavuos Bitui and Shavuos Eidos, or to the action? And if so, why can't...
You the last thing I said? About Bipi Acherim.
A lot of questions. Like question three.
You're talking about question three? Question three. Question three was, why isn't there also Bitui?
Right.
Question, what was Lav and Hain? Question two is, what do you need the Parsha of Shavuos Eidos for? Isn't it all captured by Bitui?
Right.
Question three was, let's so be chayiv for both.
So it's right. So the question of tsirif is: there's no tsirif between shuas is shuas bitor to the action.
No, you have one action. One action that you do. You lied. You lied in court in a more specific way than a typical shuas bitui, with added conditions, let's say.
Right.
And the question there is, so why don't you, get... You did two things. You did one physical pe'ula, but let's call it two maisim or two isurim. Why don't you violate two isurim and get two onshin?
Right.
Or the answer to that may be, either it's exeris hakasub, we don't want to penalize... You could say because, it's the same thing. If you violated the specialized one and not the general one, doesn't mean you should violate both because the specialized one is just a prod on the general one. Or is it about eclipsing? Is it that, that's why I'm using the models of Kamlei Bedrabamine, both models. Or are we just saying that, Shuas Eidus is so different and it's, that it just blots out. It's true he lied and he did a bitui, but the bitui kind of is eclipsed. By the Eidos. That was three. I thought you were asking me about Tzirif in the last point, the sixth, which is when you have the beginning conditions of Shavuos Eidos mipiakerim, but you're potter mishavuos Eidos, because the conditions of Shavuos Eidos expand if you say that mipiakerim is kenishba. So why wouldn't you get a bitui? Assuming you get a bitui when there's no Eidos generally, why wouldn't that also apply to the piakerim? In these cases, and the Rambam of all people, who you might have expected to be the most sympathetic to this argument, given what he says in Perek Hey, Hilchos Shavuos, Dafka seems to emphasize in Perek Tes Halacha Yudalid that is not the case.
Theoretically, you could have two things that are distinct in nature but can apply, or two surim that are sort of somewhat distinct in nature but
yeah.
Still apply to the same.
Yeah, concept. Right, 100%. We have models in both. I'm using Kamlei Bedrabamine as the models where you don't have to. There are certainly many, many, and I think I also made the comment that if two things are completely unrelated and there's no tsiruf between them, now it's almost like two actions taking place at the same time and they have nothing to do, we don't even look at them together, then you're never going to say even eclipsing. Every Kamlei Bedrabamine, whether it's the subsuming one or the eclipsing one, requires a measure of tsiruf, meaning that we're looking at these things together. Because if we weren't, then you would just say ha'iluchu dekoy ba'iluchu dechay for this, yechay for that. Just because two things happen at the same time, the temporal coincidence is not a p'tur. Somebody have to look at it as one ma'isa, as opposed to one pu'ula that are two ma'isa. I'm using pu'ula here like I do in Hilchos Shabbos as the physical act and ma'isim as the legal. I just chose that, okay, arbitrarily. But okay, good. Then now let's do exactly the opposite. Let us and analyze the concrete. So Rashi we did already. Again, we noted that there are four or five different shlavim in the sugya. Right? There's the Hein V'Lav, there's the Gemara's question, there's a Baya's answer, there's the initial idea of being chayiv twice, there's the, limud that you're not chayiv twice, there's the mezid keshogeg, there's the question, mezid keshogeg, so split mezid and shogeg. Well, right? And then there's the Rava, and then there's the the reiteration of Abaya. So it's a terrific, every line in the Gemara is amazing. We also noted that mostly you can read almost every line of the Gemara in two ways, right? One is that this is all a narrow, proximate to Bitu'edus question, and it's all technical about covering ground and covering gap cases. Or, no, this is really about this big eclipsing idea. In the Shaklavatari of the Gemara, the initial response of Abaya and the continuation of the Gemara as well, namely that Mishum Achas v'lo Mishum Shnayim, and then especially when the Gemara says well Ema, and then the Gemara says well Amay Afke, and the Gemara says Mezid Keshogeg, and then the Gemara says so good, so let him let him be chayv twice in Shogeg and once in Mezid. All that definitely reads better as a more technical subsuming covering cases type of orientation. Rava, who says, "What are you talking about? I don't need a limud, right? This is davar shiyatzo lechidusho, right? All of that doesn't even have a nafkamina. Maybe doesn't need a nafkamina. Rava reads much better. I'm not saying you can't read a by the other. I'll show in a minute. I'm not saying you can't read a by the Rava way, and I'm not saying you can't read Rava the Abaya way. I'm saying in the Shaklavatari, the Gemara, it sounds like this is the difference between Abaye and Rava. And then the question is, what does Abaye hold the Maskana? Because the Gemara in the end says the Lavahain idea, right? And the answers to the what do you need Shua Sa'edus idea seem to be factually or conceptually at odds. And the answer is he was chozer. What was he chozer from? Right? He was chozer. Good? Okay. So certainly the way Rashi reads the Gemara, the Chiddush, let's just sum up each Rishon now, the way Rashi read the Gemara was exactly that way. Now, does Rashi read Abaye as, you know, a very proximate and technical relationship between Eidus and Bitu? Rashi also added Roy Lahoid and Chutz LeBezdin as the way of characterizing a fundamental distinction. That was a Chiddush of Rashi that doesn't appear in the Gemara, but that was picked up by all the other Rishonim due to the influence of Rashi. Right? We'll see in a moment their adjustment on that. There are two assumptions there. One assumption is that Chutz LeBezdin and Roy Lahoy characterize, right, the difference between, the fundamental difference in Mechaya between Shuas Eidus and Shuas Bitui. The other assumption is that even when you have Eino Roy Lahoid and Chutz LeBezdin, that it still has a shame, Shvuas Eidus, right, Legabe the din of Lavahain, and Legabe the Ptur of Shvuas Bitui. So in a way, there's a double Chiddush in Rashi. Okay, number one, this is the characterization of it, and that B, the fact that it's in the category, you know, when it's missing, in other words, it doesn't reduce to Bitui. It still remains Shvuas Eidus, even though it's the Davar Hamagdir.
Does that add with each other?
What? They're not at odds with each other, but they're interesting in light of each other. They're still possibly... They're not at odds with each other at all, but it's a subtlety in Rashi, for sure. Let me add one other thing, and that's that Rashi emphasizes, in Abaye, the fact that Shvuas Bitui and Shvuas Eidus have the same kind of korban. Correct? Two Rashis? And that also is consistent in Abaye, because the whole point is that Rashi is trying to explain. Diramasu lahochi afka rachmana, upirsha behedya, right? Ubahai korban gufe. What's Bahai korban gufe? Right? And then Dibra Maskil, Ela Larav, Lamai Hilkasa Kosvarachmana, Ubahai Korban Gufe. Right, Halo Bakal Shvuas Bituihi. Meaning, Rashi is impressed with the similarity of the Korban when he is emphasizing the question, when the Gemara asks the question, what do we need Shvuas Eidus for? We have Shvuas Bitui. So if the idea, again, you could still explain, oh, you know, if there are no nafkamina, what do we need it for? And there are no nafkamina because the korban's similar. But especially if the question is that it's a similar machayev, then it's an even stronger question. Then the fact that the nature of the korban is important. Either way, this is what Rashi says. Rashi's clear that there's a machlokas Abaye and Rava, and that the nafkamina between Abaye and Rava will be in a case where you're potur mishvuas ha'edos, namely Michutz LeBezdin or in a Roy Lahoid, that in that circumstance there'll be an afkamina between Abaye and Rav. Fine. The Ramban and the Rajba and the Mukha Yosef, within the view of Rashi, I'm talking about the Kiddusha Ramban now, Kiddusha Rajba, Mukha Yosef, basically accept Rashi's understanding of the Shakavatari of the Gemara, but with, in each case, one important adjustment. Which adjustment?
Are you? That's the case where it's Sule Eidos, then you're still going to be Shua Eidos, and you're still going to be high
from Bitui. Exactly. I mean, the Ramban and the Rajba in the Kiddushin, and although the Ramban does not say this, we're going to read Mochamos in just a minute. The Ramban doesn't say it in Mochamos, but by omission, and especially once you know the Ramban and the Kiddushin, but even otherwise, it's a striking omission of Rui and Lahayid, he implies it. I mean, the Ramban basically is Mechalek Rambam the Rajbar Mechalek between Chutz LeBezdin and Ruin Lahayt. If somebody has a line, that would be good in the Rambam. It's not how you have it here. namely, if it's Misha in a Roy Lahayt, says the Rambam, even Rava and the Rajba, even Rava will hold that what? That your Chayiv Mishum Shuas Bitu. Why? You have it, Isaac? So that is, and Rajma says something similar. So actually he has, he added two cases, or three, the Ramban. In other words, he added what he says, where he diverges from Rashi, is that Roy Lahoyd and Kofar, previously Kofar Bebezdin Beli Shvua, since Kiv Chigachu Ben Chozer Magid, so they're Mufka Mishem Eid, and once you're Mufka Mishem Eid, right, you're going to be Chayiv Shuas Bitoy. But he also adds, but Chutz Lebezdin, he agrees with Rashi, even though you're not chayv mishum shuas eidos, right? And lo tava, right? Or lo yiched, you have that there also, that line? Yiched, or what do you have? Or lo shama mipi atovei, or lo yiched eidav, right? Those are cases where you're also not chayv shuas eidos before. Right? So what's the difference? The answer is, as he explains it, that at least in his opinion, the rubric, right, the dividing line, between, right, shame or chalos shvuas ha'edos and not, is roi l'hoid. And that's karav apostle and kivin shigachu v'nechos ramad. But chutz l'bezdin and lo tava or lo yichad edav, those are missing the conditions of chiyu. There's no befoal chiyu, but the shame shvuas edos is there. And Rashi obviously disagrees. Rashi thinks that even einam ruyim lahayid can still have a shame shvuas edos. That's a very remarkable thing. The Nebuke Yosef goes in the other direction. I don't think I necessarily told you to look at that, but Nebuke Yosef says that even Chutz LeBezdin, one second, I have it here somewhere. It's always curious, how they organize. What?
Yeah.
You found it? You have it? You have the line? So this is exactly what we're talking about. When we're talking about differences between the chalos, the shame, the fall, the chiyu, we're not making this up. These are in the Rishonim. Yeah.
The idea that it would register even if it doesn't work outside of Bezdin is very similar to the idea we talked about in the Rivi Gash.
Yes.
The notion that even though it's not chal at all, there's still this registering of Nidiyat.
Correct. And the question is that more of a reason to think that it's a bitui because it still registers, it's a form of bitui? Or is that a reason, or is it bigger chiddush that it's still called shem shuas eidos because there still was a chiyuv hagadah, there still is money at stake, and so on. That I'm not sure about. And we'll talk about the Rivi Gash in just a second because that is very... Oh, I thought I had it a second ago. Anybody have... Oh, here's something else. Here. V'nir d'davka b'di'ika mishum eidos... Dahino beruyin lahoid ubifne bezdin. O deleka mishum bitui. I'm sorry. O deleka mishum. Deika tama damarn. Avalhecha de isa libitui. The lo laedos. Kagom bipsum laedos. O shaloba bezdin. Machaibi mishum bitui. So the Ramban and Rajba basically attack Rashi on one side. And then Nebuke Yosef attacks him on the other side. Now, does the Nebuke Yosef mean to say that everything depends on the chiyu b'foal, even for Rava, in which case the machlokas Abai and Rava is just a machlokas in the makar, right? Or does the Nebuke Yosef mean to say that what the Ramban says about Ruyin Lahoyed, in my opinion, is true about Chutz Bezdin? Namely, I agree that it doesn't only depend on Befoal whether you're Chayim Shuas Eidos. It depends whether there's a shame Shuas Eidos or not. The only thing is, I think that Ruyin Lebezdin, just as Rashi thinks, just as Ramban thinks, sorry, that shame aid is the Rubicon, I think that as well Chiyuv Haggadah is. Now, will there be any case that the Nebuke Yosef, what about lack of Tviya? Or lack of Yichud Eidim? Or lack of being the exclusive Mafsidim? Well, in other words, if we can find an afkamina for the Nebuke Yosef, what's that? Did somebody say something? If we can find an actual nafkamina for Nebuke Yosef where there's no before Al-Khiv Shuas Eidos, but there is a shame Shuas Eidos, then again, it's an interesting internal discussion about where you draw it. These are precious. These are just incredibly, like we're, right, we're able to isolate the factors and really see things about the mechanics of Shuas Eidos and the different gormim, different tnaim of, you know, and what they affect. I'm not sure in the Nebuke Yosef. Let me just say it this way, though. Even if they're nafkamina, so then it's an argument on an important prop and where you draw the line. What will he say about Tviya? What will he say about Yichud Eidim? What will he say about, as I say, certain aspects of Hefsed Mamon? I don't know. Interesting, important question. Even if there are no nafkamina, is there a difference between Abai and Rava other than the Makar? Why is that important? Well, it's also important in how you read the continuation of the Gemara. Because the Gemara does seem to say, right, when the Gemara says, here, Bechlal da Abaye Savar Iso Lishua Ba'olam Va'am Rabaye Moda Rav. Is that line of the Gemara, Bechlal da Abaye Savar Iso Lishua Ba'olam, meant to contrast with Rava? Or is it meant to contrast, or is it simply an internal question, a stira in Abaye? Hard to know how to read the Gemara. The Pashtus, certainly the way Rashi read it, and the way I think we would all read it, if we, again, we had our druthers, we would say that the Gemara is saying, fine, there's a Baya and there's a Rava, and this is a Baya. If it was Rava, we wouldn't be asking this question, but, you know, if, given a Baya, isn't that a Stira? Not impossible to say, we have a Baya on record for La Behain. Now we have him on record for this. There's a steer. Is there a steer for Rava too? Sure, but Rava isn't the one who made the Lava Hain statement. Okay? So all I'm trying to say is, does the Nebuke Yosef only argue, if the Nebuke Yosef's argument is that everything, Shuas Bitu depends on Befoal. Let me say this one. Okay, three things. If the Nebuke Yosef has other nafkamina and he only argues about Chutz Lebezdin, or argues about some of them, but there are cases where there's a shame Shuas Eidos B'li Chiyuv, where there'll be a debate between Rav and Abaya, then fine. That's one possibility. The second possibility is that for the Nebuke Yosef, there is no nafkamina, but the continuation of the Gemara is still fine because the difference in Mokar still reflects two different perspectives on why you're not chayiv twice for Shuas Bitui. For Abaya, it's a technicality, and it's a ptur, but yesh shem shvua, isa l'shvua ba'olam, but for Rava, it's mufka. So even though there's no nafkamina like Rashi, or even like the Ramban, right, there are still two different conceptual perspectives, and therefore the stira, the question is for Abaya, not for Rava. The third possibility, but that might be true, even if every case, in other words, what the Nebuke Yosef might say, if according to this view, is either that there are no tnaim, or, you know, that are only matters of chiyuv and ptur, not matters of shame, shvuas eidos. Or that, right, that category doesn't, either there aren't any, or that category can't exist. Anytime there's shvuas eidos, there's a chiyuv shvuas eidos. But there's still a difference between Abai and Rava conceptually. Or, as I just said, no, the Nebuke Yosef is saying Abai and Rava argue about the limud. They both agree conceptually. The only reason the Gemara asks from Abai is because the stira is internal. Okay, that's for the Nebuke Yosef. Now let's go back to the other Rishon. So for the Rach, what is the Chiddush of the Rach? The Rach adds a Chiddush, we already mentioned. Joey, what's the Chiddush of the Rach? Remember? Say again? Yeah. But what regarding what? The Rach's Chiddush is that even in Rava, he brings in the factor of Mezid. The Gemara quotes Mezid Keshogeg for Abaya, and not for Rava. For Rava, Mandekar Shmei, there's no characterization, there's no Raya, there's no Nafkamina mention. The Rach throws in Mezid Keshogeg for Rava, and he adds the words, you know, that Bilav Gredasa. So just the impulse of doing that, of bringing the Mezid in for Rava, is a Chiddush. You could have said that, again, let's remember it this way. For Abaya, the bringing in of Rava, the bringing in of Mezid, turns out, was a technicality. Or so it seems, right? Because the Gemara immediately asks, at least the Gemara understood it that way, Ve'ema, you know, b'mezid, but b'shogeg yurchai shtayim. If Mezid was a characterization of Chiyuv Shvuos Eidos, and what differentiates it, that's a very strange question. So for Abaya, Mezid Keshogeg could be a detail. But if Rava really holds that this is Davar Sheyatza, Lidon B'davar Chadash, Vein L'chaba L'chidusha, and he's trying to say that Shvuos Eidos is a different Mechayiv, and there's eclipsing going on here, right? So why are we bringing in Mezid Keshogeg? Moreover, Bishlomo for Abaya, as we've just explained it, the fact that Mezid Keshogeg, is Mezid Keshogeg a Kula or a Chumra? Right? That's the question I raised yesterday. The answer is you would think it's a Kula. Why? Because what happens in Shuas Bitu, you get Malkus. That's the Kesef Mishnah's question and the Ramban's, Remez as well. Why, what are these, Kulas or Chumras? Right? So again, if the question in the Gemara is, what do you need Shavuos Eidos for? It's all captured in Shavuos Bitu. It's superfluous. And if the point is that, you know, either we don't care about the conceptual difference, or, you know, probably not. There is no conceptual difference, or the assumption is there's not conceptual difference. And it's covered, so what's the big deal? So then the answer can be a technical answer, Lekula or Lechumra. We need to know this halacha because there's something different about it than the classical case. Mezid Keshogeg. Correct? And since it's Mezid Keshogeg, we need this Shavuos Bitui plus K. Now, you could still ask the question, how come we're more Mekil in Shavuos Eidos than we are in Shavuos Bitui? Wouldn't you think that we would be the opposite? And that's still a really good question. However, just one second. If Mezid Keshogeg had been a characterizer, something that establishes that Shavuos Eidos is a different Mechayiv, and as we're taking the conceptual reading of the Gemara, then you would think that Mezid, again, it could still be a Kula, but you would think that you want to make the point, especially in eclipsing, that it's more Chamor. Right, how could you do that? So what I said yesterday, I stick by it, is that if you interpret Mezid Keshogeg that way, what you're really trying to say is not so much, right, that, you know, the Chiddush is that Mezid isn't Malkus, it's Korban. It's that, you know, the nature of the Chiyuv in Shogeg is such that there's no difference between Shogeg, or not sufficient difference between Shogeg and Mezid. But Lav Gredasa, even a Korban type of Lav, you're going to get Mezid too. So it's an expansion on Shogeg, and that's, I think, what the Rach means to say. It ends up being a Kula, but the Kula is a result of a Chumrah. It's because we look already not at the Mechayev of Chilul Diburo in Shavuos Eidos B'Shogeg, but the idea of Hefsid Momon Ayudei Shavuos Sheker. Once that's the Mechayev, there's no real reason to distinguish between Mezid and Shogeg, even if that ends up, you know, with an unintended, I don't mean unintended, I mean the Rabbanu Sholem created the world, you know, lo nitkanu ali los, but I mean, you know, a legal consequence, you know, that is a little jarring or at odds, but is justified by the bigger picture, what that is. So I think that's what Rabbeinu Hananel's Kiddush is, that Rava also wants to characterize, but for him the characterization is, you know, is a characterization, not a nafkamina, and therefore you have to create, you know, that specific emphasis. Okay. So what's fascinating in light of that, is to move to the next shita. I'm going a little bit historically out of order. The next shita historically would be the Rif, but I'm moving a little historically out of order to the Rimigash. Okay, Yossi, what is the Rimigash? A sensational, you don't know? You didn't see the Rimigash. You should, Chafayim and Beis, you can't miss it. David? People are boycotting the Rimigash. Impossible. Gershon David. The Rimigash. Unforgettable Rimigash. A sensational Rimigash.
Definitely is.
Right? Startling. Shocking.
Yeah. Within Shitas Rava, I think Yezekiah is it and Chogig.
He says what?
He speaks about...
Like Rabbeinu Hananel, he introduces Mezid Keshogeg into the mix, not in the Gemara, okay, but totally unlike Rashi and Rabbeinu Hananel, the Rimigash has this incredible reading of the Gemara and conclusion, namely, Gershon David? So unforgettable that like you just, that it's unforgettable. Asher? The whole parsha of Shavuos Ha'edus, right, is only there for the Mezid. Like what Abaye originally said, but now Rava is, again, it's hard. Do you have the language? What's that?
It says it in Abaye also.
He ends up saying it in Abaye as well, based on the continuation. So for Abaye and Rava don't argue for the Rimigash. For the Rimigash, Abaye and Rava are the same, and they really only argue about the Makar. It sounds like it's not a conceptual argument at all, just an argument about the Makar, which is why you can bring in Abaye's Mezid Keshogeg in, again, for my reading of the Rach, the opposite, right? It's Mezid Keshogeg, but for a totally different reason. For the Rimigash, it's Abaye's Mezid Keshogeg. But for Rava, it means even more, or it means for both Abaye and Rava more, namely, I'll share what's a Kiddush. You're really chayiv shtayim. I'm sorry, you're really chayiv mishum bitui for shogeg. That's an unbelievable way he reads the Gemara is that Yatza Ledavar Chadash is the previously mentioned, the heretofore mentioned Mezid Keshogeg. So when you do Mezid, Bishwasa Edus, you don't get malchus, you get a korban. The kula, let's say, of Shavuos Ha'edus is the reason for the parsha, both for Abaye and for Rava. How do you know that? Also, how do you know that there's no double chiyuv, right? In addition, you know, with Bishogeg, Abaye says achas, Rava says yatsa davar, whatever. But the yatsa davar doesn't mean that you chayiv mishum shuas ha'edus and not shuas habitui, it means that you are chayiv for. It means that you are chayiv for shuas bitui and not for shuas ha'edus. That's a remarkable thing. So then, what happens in the continuation? Again, you might want to ask for the Rimigash. I mean, how does this fit in with his, you know, previous view that we know about, you know, bipiatzmo being treated differently than the Piacherim? Right? An interesting question. But the point is that the Rimigash is projecting, at least on Shogeg, at least on Mipiatzmo Shogeg, a Bitui-esque, not just Bitui-esque, it is Bitui, essentially. What will he say about me? Does he think that Mipiacherim is also different? But that's not in the rubric of the Gemara. In other words, like the Rambam. In other words, the Gemara wants to know two things. What do you need Parshas Shavuos Ha'edus for? And why aren't you Chayiv Shtayim? And that's a relevant question when you have a classic Bitui situation. And you have a classic B2 situation in Mipiatzmo Bishoge. So the answer for the Rimigash is in Achanami. When you have Mipiatzmo Bishogeg, you're Chayiv Mishum Bitui. When you have Mezid, that's a special din of Shavuos Eidos, probably a Kula. Why should we make them more? We're not sure. Right? Maybe because the emphasis is monetary, it deflects from the, you know, from the pure Sheker aspect of it. That's a Chiddush. But you'd say something like that, maybe, in Mezid. Maybe Dafkim in Mezid. That's the case, right? So Shogeg Bipiatzmo is Bitui. Mezid is Shavuos Eidos. And what about Mipiacherim? Probably that's also Shavuos Eidos. But that's not part of the Gemara, because the Gemara never thought to ask, you know, why is it Mipiacherim Bitui? Because Bipashtus, there is no Mipiacherim for Bitui. Right? So where you'll have me now, does that work in well with his, even though we paskin like Rabbanon and not Rab Meir, there might be a fundamental difference between, right, Mipiacherim, Amen, and Mipiatzmo? It works pretty okay with that. You don't need it for that, but it works okay with that. Okay? The Rimigash is sensational. How do you read the next part, the end of the Gemara? The end of the Gemara is now easy to read, but just shocking. Right? The Gemara says, well, Abaya said, La Behain. Anybody have the line in the Rebbe Gash? Josh, go ahead. Abaya said, La Behain. Who just said yes? You said yes? Yeah. The Abaya said, La Behain is a problem when you say Hain because there's no Lav. That shouldn't be true anymore because not only is there no conceptual difference, you're actually chayiv mishum bitui in that case. Correct? Josh? That's how to read the Gemara. That's an unbelievable read of the Gemara. Meaning, forget about everything we've been flipping. Flipping is technical. Flipping is conceptual. Forget about it. There's no flipping problem at all because you're chayiv b'shogeg mishum. Go ahead. Well, why is there a problem of Hain and Lav if it's not Mishum, if it's Mishum Shavuos Bitui alone? Go ahead. The answer is what did Tom see Hadar from? Which one?
The maze it I would say particularly the maze it
Do you think?
No.
I'm not sure.
It doesn't have to be Hadar.
But either way, the point is these are incompatible statements, not conceptually only. More important, factually they're incompatible. Abaya here and Rava both say that your chayiv mishum shuas bitui in shuas edus b'shogeg mipiatzmo. I'm just adding the mipiatzmo because otherwise it's hard. You can't read the rest of the sugyas in shuas edus and you can't read the other rimigash. But I think it works perfectly for the rimigash. Right? So how could he, why is there a Hain and Lav problem on any level? The answer is, you're right. These are incompatible statements. They're two different views of Abaya. Amazing Rimigash. Okay, now, let's go back to the Rif. So what did the Rif do? Oh, but before I get to the Rif, just one point, just very quickly, regarding the Rimigash, regarding Ramban. When we read the Ramban and the Chidushim before, and the Rajba, etc., when Rajba and Ramban made the chilek between Roy Lahoid and presence in Bezdin, it's just noteworthy that they made the distinction both for the question of Chiyuv Bitui, right, as well as for the La V'Hein question of Abai in the beginning of the Sogya. Right? As I said, if it's really true that Eino Roy Lahoid is Mufka Legamri from the shame Shavuos Sa'edos, not just Potter Befoal from the Chiyuv Shavuos Sa'edos, so then, says the Ramban and the Rajma, there'll be two nafkamina. One is you'll be Chayiv Bitui in that case. And number two is that if Eino Roy Lahoid is Nishba Bebitui, right? then he'll be chayiv for the hain of the bitui in that case. I just want to point out that even if you do argue with Rashi and make the distinction between roi l'hoid and, or let's say you were to take a, let me say it this way. Do you have to put both, is it logical that both nafkamino will apply? Yes, because what they share in common is the point that there isn't even a shame, shuas ha'edus, right? There is, in this case of befoel p'tur, a hafkaas shame, and that should affect both issues. What I'm really asking is, the Nebuke Yosef, another issue in the Nebuke Yosef, who ends up, you know, arguing about Chutz Lebezdin as well. We had three ways of looking at the Nebuke Yosef. So let's say for the Nebuke Yosef. If the Nebuke Yosef's idea is that everything just depends on, or that Chiyuv Bitui depends on Befoal Chiyuv of Shuas Ha'edus, right? But he still agrees that there are different levels of Pturim of Shuas Ha'edus, some of which leave intact the skeleton or the structure or the Chalos of Shuas Ha'edus, right? If he would agree to that, he still could argue that La Behain depends on the shame, whereas Shuas Bitui depends on the Befoah, or vice versa. So just to point out that the Ramban and the Rajba are applying this Nafkamina to both, but in theory, you could have said that these two questions, Hain and Lav, and Bitui, Chiyu Befoah and Bitui, are themselves different with regard to this issue. Okay, now let's talk about the Rif. So what's fast, first of all, what's not in the Rif? Yeah, sorry.
Can I just ask about the Rimu Gosh?
Sure.
So, for some reason, it just seems so sensational that in virtue of, simply in virtue of a drop from Maisie to Shogeg, it would be like...
It's not a drop. It's not,
oh,
the
no, not a
drop.
The closest possible world where it's, you know, showing.
No, I would explain it differently. What I would say is, if the Rimigash's mentality is that Shuas Edus is fundamentally a Shuas Bitui, it's a specialized Shuas Bitui.
Because of the topic, because it just happens to be about matters of testimony?
No. That makes it more, that makes it the specialized part.
That's
but
what
the
I
point
mean.
It's a specialization. That isn't the point. The point is the opposite. It's a specialization of Shuas Bitui. Meaning, look, at core, Shuas Edus is Shuas Sheker, Shuas Bitui.
Okay.
It's just a specialized one because of the Hefzid Mamon and so on. Therefore, this specialization, right, is only manifest b'mezid and not b'shogeg.
But so b'shogeg, it's not that the... There's like...
It's not the drop-off.
Fine. It's not
it's that
the
Shogeg is a classic Shuas Bitui. And once it's Mazed and you're trying to cause a Malasim or whatever, or you're doing it more consciously or with full knowledge of the consequences, so then that other Mechayev or specialization kicks in.
So Mazed, in other words, has to... The only Mazed is what pulls Shuas Edus out
of Bitui.
Of standard
Bitui.
Correct. Okay, fine.
That's a better... That's a way to say it to solve your quandary. Yeah.
I have to clarify
something
about the Nebuke Yosef thing. Yeah. Are we suggesting that you're chayav mishum bitui because of a shame Shuas Edus?
No. I'm saying that either the Nebuke Yosef poll just argues about when there is and when there's not a shame Shuas Edus, which is poter you mi bitui, or he really thinks that there is no middle category at all. Now, is he arguing about the details of which Tnaim of Ptur still retain the status of Shem, Shuas, Edus, and which do not? And we could, if we have 5, 6, 7 conditions of Ptur, we could argue about every one of them. And he's arguing about, he's saying, Chutz Lebezin, for me, is like the Ramban's Psul Edus. Is that what he's saying? Or is he saying, if there's Befoal Ptur, that's all that counts? Or... If there's Befoal Ptur, then there's never a shame Shuas Edus.
Regardless, he thinks
Yechayim Shem Bitui in that case, of Chutz Lebezdin, but we're not sure what he holds about other cases.
What other cases?
Let's say, Mipia Toveya. What would it say about that? Let's say that's less than Bezda. Or Yichud Ha'edim. What would it say about those cases? I'm not sure. Even if he would say about all cases, right, I he still may conceptually think that Abaye and Rava disagree.
Okay, and in those other cases we're suggesting that you'd be Pater and Mishum Bitoy, but you'd be Chaya and Mishum Pini. There's still
a lot. Yeah. Say again, would you be Pater, Mishum? I'm just saying, I don't know whether conceptually he thinks everything depends on Befoal, or he just thinks that there are no cases that in which there's Befoal Patur, but there's still a Shem Shuas Eidus. So you have this middle situation which tests the Rav and Abaye question. That's what I'm not sure of in the movie. I'm also just adding that another Nafkamina might be if he's willing to agree that there's this middle status, but just thinks that the chiyuv bitui or ptur bitui depends on the befoal, that doesn't necessarily mean that he thinks that lav and hain depend on that. If he admits that there's a middle status, all I'm saying is that Rashi and Ramban both agree, although they argue about some pratim, that there's a middle status in shvus ha'edus where you're not chayiv. Right, but there's still enough of a shame shuas ha'edus, which still precludes bitui. And one could have, in that question gufa, distinguished in either direction between the question of being chayav for bitui and the question whether there's la behein. And therefore, while the Ramban puts the two issues together, and from his point of view, I totally understand why, because if there's no shame, there's no shame, right? I don't know that the Mukhi Yosef necessarily puts those two issues together. That's all I'm saying.
I don't get how you make a distinction. Like if you have a shame bitoy, then why wouldn't you be chayav with shame bitoy?
That's shame bitoy. Shame eidus. The issue is whether you have a shame shvus eidus. That's going to eclipse the bitoy. The question is, when you're potter mishvus eidus in certain cases, do you still have a shame shvus eidus enough to preclude applying bitoy? So there are two. What I'm saying is, for Rashi and Ramban, although they argue about the pratim, there are two assumptions within Rav. One is that there is a middle status in which there's a shem shuas ha'edus, even though there's no chiyuv shuas ha'edus. They might argue whether it's biruin lahayid, enru lahayid, is only b'chutz bezdin. What about mipia tobeya? What about yichud edim? Right? What about a few of the exclusive mafsid mamoners? They might argue about what it is, but they do agree, both of them, that there is such a hechetimtzi in the middle. The second assumption is that middle status is what's koveya, the shame shuas eidus, not the chiyuv shuas eidus, is what drives away the bitur.
But they're assuming that there's definitely no shame to us a bitur either.
What do you mean? There might be a bitui in theory, or the bitui. The issue isn't the shame shuas bitui. I mean, there seems to be that objectively, if not for the shuas eidus. It's the chiddush haTorah of the parsha of Shuas Ha'edus for Rava or for Abaya, but that's why it's more practical for Abaya, of Achas Velo Shtayim, that eliminates the bitui. It's not because there is no bitui. In Shuas Ha'edus, you're missing, in these cases, conditions. He's not a Shemaid, he's not a Bezdin, there wasn't a Tviya. There's nothing missing in bitui, it's just more than bitui. Bitui is, you know, so what? If you would say, I didn't eat my Rice Krispies this morning, that would be bitui. But if he says, I don't know testimony, you know, for you, and he's lying about that, that's not bitui. So the conditions of bitui are there. The question is whether legally we can invoke bitui, the mokom, that there's even the shame of eidus in a kumle bidrabine kind of, I'm using this as a mashal, you know, eclipsing manner. That's a question.
So we're not reading Rava as a question of whether there's even a shame bitui?
We are, but the reason it's no shame bitui is because of the shame shvus ha'edus and the notion that that's sufficient to be mafkia it. For Abaya, there's a shame shvus bitui, we're not machayiv twice for Rashi. For Rava, there's no shame shvus bitui, but not because of there's no fault. All I'm trying to say is the deficiency is not in the objective conditions of bitui. It's in the eclipsing of the eidos. Everything ends up focusing on the eidos part. That's what eliminates the bitui. But you're right, it's mafkiyad, it's mesalekid. That's what we mean by the eclipsing. Okay. Oh, okay, I guess we'll have to finish Sunday, but let me finish just at least the riff. And then on Sunday we'll finish Balamor quickly, though, because I really want to start the Eidos. Again, Tosas in Bava Kamma. If you also get a chance to look at Eved Kanani, the status of Eved Kanani. Rav Chaim has a very interesting piece in Hapaz Yisroel B. I'm going to talk about that very quickly. Look around in the Rambam, how the Rambam formulates Eved Kanani, Akum, the Rashi in Gittin about Akum. In other words, start with Argamar, Lamed Amud Aleph. I say Tosas, the Ritva, here, the Chinuch. Look at the Rimigash also, the question of Antlar, Bali Dvarim, but especially Tosas and Bava Kamma, and the Rambam, and Tosas in Zvachim. You know, what is the relationship between the Psul of Isha and Eved? Because we have to start this, but since this took a little longer for some reason, but I still want to finish up Balamor, Milchamos, and Rambam on Sunday. So just on the Rif, just very briefly, there are two big chidushim in the Rif. One is what he doesn't say, and the other is what he does say. Okay. What is the one that he doesn't say? Or what's absent from the Rif? What? Exactly. He omits Rava completely. Right? I mean, the most Rishonim does zero in only on Rava, because it seems like a Paskin like Rava. And the Rif completely ignored Rava. Like Rava didn't exist. Is that because this Rif here is a rare, not so rare, but it's a Parshanut Rif? Right? There's a methodological Rif question, right? You know, mostly the Rif emphasizes, you know, the Shita that we Paskin like. Occasionally, the Rif weighs in as a pure Parshan. Could it be that we hold like Rava, but there's a difficulty, as he points out, in reading, right, what bothered the Gemara in its stira between Abaya, within Abaya? And so the Rif, as also a Parshan, is weighing in on that. Doesn't mean that he doesn't Paskin like Rava, or more to the point, doesn't think that there's a machlokas between Rava and Abaya. Not sure. There's no way to know. Just point raising the question. Or does the fact that he only brings Abaya, is that an indication that he thinks that there really is no debate between Rava and Abaya? Now, the Rimigash doesn't think there's a debate between Rava and Abaya in the end of the day. Does the Nebuka Yosef think there's a debate between Rav and Abaya? We're not sure. Right? We had several, you know, possibility. We're not sure, the Nebuka Yosef. Certainly Rashi and the Ramban and the Rajba, right, they all think there's a huge debate between Rav and Abaya. Right? And maybe the Nebuka Yosef too, conceptual debate. So when the Rif omits Rava, if it isn't for Parshanut purposes, is it because he thinks there really is no debate? If there is no debate, so is that because, in general, is that because, you know, what, taking Rashi's perspective for a moment, is that because Abaya really holds like Rava, or because Rava holds like Abaya? I'm using it from a Rashi. In other words, both of them, you know, argue about the makar of the more fundamental eclipsing kind of din, or because both of them fundamentally agree that, you know, that the problem here is a technical one, meaning there's bitui, and the question is, you know, when you chayim mishum bitu, when you chayim mishum edus, it's a specialization thing. Oh, very interesting. So that is question number two. Now, on question number two, there is something to say, at least about the Rif's understanding of Abaya. So how does the Rif interpret Abaya? Oh, what do you mean, El Chaval
Chidusha? He thinks that in Ishua's Eidus there's no Shua's Bitui. And so he really tries to.
In Ishua's Eidus there's no Shua's Bitui?
Yeah.
That's how the Rif understands it?
Yeah.
There's another Chidush of the Rif. Number one, he omitted Abaya. Good. Number two, the way that he understands the question of the Gemara. Well, what is his Chidush of the way he understands the question, which attracted all the controversy? You'll see? That the Gemara is asking for the Havamina. Which Havamina? The Gemara thought that you'd be Chayiv Shtayim, and then the Gemara turns around and asks the question, how could you think of Chayiv Shtayim and be the guy who said that there's a flipping problem? How could there be a Lavahain problem if you're Chayiv Shtayim? That's how the Rif reads, right? You think that means that he's an eclipser or that he's a subsumer? What? An eclipser? Really?
Yeah.
How can you say that? I mean, why do we care about... What are all Rishonim ask against the Rif? Yossi? Well, we're asking. By the way, this is another good meta issue, right? You're asking questions from Abaya's statement, his psak about La Behain, from the Havamina that he had, which he rejected based on a pasuk, right? So, what's our answer to that? The meta answer first. Havaminas are very important, right? Havaminas are very important. It always is legitimate to try to figure them out most of the time, right? To freeze frame what they thought. And then to figure out whether or not, despite the Gzaras HaKosev, that they're wrong. Are they wrong because they're technically wrong, or are they wrong because they're conceptually wrong? So the real answer for the riff is that the Gemara is not really just asking from a Havamina Ki'ilu that it doesn't know the Maskana. That's what the Balamor accused him of. That's what the Ran Alatar accuses the Balamor of. Right? That would be sensational. But the Ramban in Mochamo says, that's not what the Rif was doing in so many words. He says the Rif isn't so distant from Rashi. In Abaya, though. Rashi's Abaya. Right? Meaning, what we mean is, if not for the Gzeres HaKosev, we would have said Yochai Shnayim. Meaning, we are, you know, in front, and then the Ramban goes a step further with it. For all intents and purposes, conceptually, at minimum, we're saying that you are chayev mishum bitui, or that bitui is a relevant chiyuv here. And if that's the case, what's the lav and hain problem? That's what Ramban answers the riff. So when you think about it, the dropping of Rava for Abaya, the assumption, if it isn't just a parshanut thing, like really we pass him like Rava, it's a conceptual, you know, eclipsing problem, and the riff is just weighing in on how to read the Gemara, which is important too. Occasionally, you know, he can just be a parsha. Fine. What is his parshanut in Abaya? By emphasizing the Havamina. Even once there is a maskana, even if Ramban's right, it's Rashi plus. It really, really shows that Bitui is in the forefront here. Right? Now, with that, we'll go further, ironically, in the Baal HaMor's first pshat itself, and in the Ramban and Ran's formulation. Let me mention them now. We'll read them in on Sunday. What do I mean? The Baal HaMor's first suggestion is that maybe a buyer really holds that you actually violate the lav of bitui, even though you don't get a korban for it. You're in violation of the lav. Well, again, he's rejecting the riff, because he read the riff as only the habamina, but probably the pshat in the riff is something like his critics suggest, right? The first balamar. Then you violate the lav, just like in kamalib drabamina, you violate the lav. You just don't get the onesh for it. Or, like the Ramban says in Mochamos, we'll read it inside. What does Ramban say in Mochamos? Noah? It applies to both. That's even better. The onesh is common, or the korban is common to both. Wow, not only do you violate the asev, and you don't bring a korban for it, what does the Ramban say? But the Ramban says it is more like you bring one korban for both Isurim, the way the Ran kind of, you know, suggests, and don't say, the don't say of the Ran is a little bit more, you know, maybe it's the combination. It's a hybrid. To say you're chayiv the korban for both, to say that you're chayiv the aseh, you violate the aseh, but the korban is for Eidos, but that's what the Baal HaMor suggests. To say that you are chayiv the korban for both, that's the Ramban. The Ran, anybody have a line in the Ran? It sounds a little more like it's a hybrid. You're chayiv for the combination. It sounds like there's a hyphen in there.
My pericle.
You have it? Alex?
Is it in my pericle?
Yeah. With the Ran, when he says, don't tell me. And then he says, and you can see how unhappy I am, you know, and implicitly that I don't like the Ramban either.
Vishogig like Acher Usa?
No. Yeah, that's a great line, which we're going to talk about. But it's Mibain Shneim. Mibain Shneim is not the same as, what's the line of the Ramban? I'm saying they're just playing with different formulations. Their heart's in the same thing. Chayv Achas L'Shneim. The Baal HaMor says you violate the Asay, but you don't get an onus for that. He says you chayv achas l'shneim, the Ramban, and the Ran says, and don't tell me it's mibein shneim. Mibein shneim doesn't have to mean that you chayv achas l'shneim. It might mean a hyphen, the combination. Okay, but either way, what all share in common, each of their own, no one's saying what the Rimigash is saying, which is that in b'shoge you chayv mishum bitui alone. That's unbelievable. But these three other formulations, or all explain the riff. The riff was zeroing on the Havamina because, not because he doesn't know the Maskana or doesn't care. He's saying, how could Abayi say this and have that Havamina? That's not what he was asking. He was saying, how could Abayi say this, given the Xeris HaKasuv that is necessary to preclude his Havamina? It shows that even after the Xeris HaKasuv, right, there is some sort of a bitui basis or foundation for Eidos, and if that's true, there's no Lavahain problem. That's the riff. So the riff ends up being, in a way, very close to the Rimigash, although not at all reading the Gemara like that. Oh. So in light of the Rach, the riff, the Rimigash, the Rambam really looms large and very spectacular, although confusing. How so, Netanel? Or not that.
Yeah. Sorry.
He quotes both Abaya and Rava. And he quotes Abaya in the original La V'Hain. He quotes Rava, Abaya, and the La V'Hain. In other words, the riff dropped Rava. Right? The Rimigash basically said they're the same and everything is about Bitui. Right? The Rach made a huge difference between Rava and Abaya with Mezid. The Rambam emphasizes Mezid, although he reformulates it. He has both Abaya and Rava. He has the original Abaya. And he has some interesting Minze formulated too. So I'll just tell you the secret now. I think that the Rambam did exactly the opposite of the Rif and the Rimigash. He had both of them. He liked part of what they said. But for the global reasons and just putting it together, he thought that Abaya and Rava both agree with Rava. Not that Abaya and Rava both agree with Abaya. I mean in Rashi terms. Okay, we'll stop here. I already went much too late. So tomorrow, Sunday, we're just going to just make it clear. I just want to, again, zero in on the language of the riff a little more. But mostly, Baal HaMor, Mochamos, Rambam, to finish this off. And then starting on Lamed, straight with the Psuleim.